We want to welcome everyone to our SHAC meeting this evening on February the 28th of 2022. All of our SHAC meetings will be recorded and it will be posted on the AISD website with the written minutes. Do I have, we have the minutes from November 15th of 2021. Do I have a motion to accept the minutes as we are looking these over? Olga made a motion to accept them. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Linda seconded those. All in favor?
Yay.
Yay. And then I will introduce Dr. Karen Munoz and Carrie Thornburg, the curriculum superintendent of our school, and they were going to talk about the changes in the new health TEKS.
So I'm going to just turn that over to Carrie and let her explain. You have several documents in front of you, so she's going to walk you through that and kind of just give you the highlights of some of the big things that have changed.
Mm-hmm. Good evening. I'm Carrie Thornburg. I'm the Executive Director for Curriculum and Instruction. And basically, I oversee the content coordinators and all that they do to try to help support teaching and learning in our schools, K through 12. And so the thing that I'm here to talk to you guys about tonight is the changes in our health TEKS. And it is K through 12 changes. TEA has done a revision of all of those health TEKS. And so let me tell you what I've put together for you. So first of all, it says draft across the front. These are K through 12 TEKS that will, which is Texas Essential Knowledge and Skills, everything that's supposed to be taught in each of those grade levels related to health. They have all been updated or revised to go into effect for the next school year, 22-23. And so it says draft across it just because they have not been implemented yet. They've already been approved and will be put in place at the beginning of the next school year. So in order to look at these, they're set by grade levels. So we'll start with kindergarten and go on through high school. And as you flip through a couple pages, you can just start to notice that there are some things in red, some strike-throughs, those kind of things, things underlined, and that's how you would know what has been added, what has been taken out, those kind of things. And so a lot of that is the same, just updated, but they have added some different information topics under what might be called special topics or sensitive topics, which Dr. Munoz will address here in just a minute. But so I wanted to give you a copy of that so you can kind of go through and check that out as you get a chance to. Let me dive into that part.
The biggest change, because it affects human sexuality courses, is there is a new requirement to teach barrier protection, so contraception. And so our current human sexuality curriculum actually has that within it, but it has not been taught because our actual curriculum spans over 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. That information is within there. It just has been something that has never been taught in AISD because when the planning of human sexuality classes began, it was certain sections were taken from the curriculum. So it's we do have it already within our current curriculum and would like to continue just using what we have until we see what are these new health TEKS, how are they gonna work out? Because we do have her department, Carrie's department, all of our content coordinators will be working on incorporating the health TEKS. And so, anyway, so that's the big thing for you to know is barrier protection is now a new requirement. Okay,
So along with that, I'm more comfortable standing. I guess that's the teacher in me. So along with that, we are looking at new textbooks, new instructional materials to teach health in the elementary school and in the middle school areas. And so we have two committees, which we have some members of the SHAC on those committees. Mandy also sat through some presentations out of Region 14 with some of the materials selection. What we're planning to do instruction-wise is an elementary continuous plan, working with the campuses on, at each grade level, health is taught each 6 weeks. There is a grade for it that goes on the report card. Whether that's a classroom teacher teaching it or the PE teacher or a combination of, that's something we're working through. And sometimes that depends on grade level. So we'll be meeting the health teachers that way for elementary. And so the other things I've given you are some examples of some of the samples we're looking at. So like specifically at elementary, this is one that the committee is really favoring, I guess I would say. We're looking at a couple different ones. This is called Flavor Ed, and they did a great presentation for us as the textbook committee. They also did a good presentation for PE teachers in elementary to help us understand how this will help teachers, whether it's the PE teacher or the classroom teacher or whatever, teach health, but also incorporate it with PE. With some of those skills with PE so that you can get more of that coordinated school health program. And so what I copied for you here is just some highlights of that program for this curriculum on the third page in. There is the online code so you can get in yourself and look around at what that curriculum looks like. And then on the very back, I thought this was helpful, so I copied this for you. What this group has done is taken the health teaks at each grade level. They put them into these different modules, so you can see how it would be taught. All of the teaks would be addressed through these modules throughout the year at the right appropriateness for that grade level, and then do that way.
Carrie, is this a hard textbook or is it electronic?
So the teachers have access to everything online. We can purchase some materials, but everything is online. It's downloadable. It talks with Google Classroom so that the teachers can put things into Google Classroom for kids. One of the things we really like about this particular curriculum choice is that it's very interactive, very playful with the kids. Linda sat through a presentation with it too, and she said, I think I could teach health. You know, it's that teacher-friendly and steps you through that kind of thing. So with the arrangement, to help answer your question also, with the arrangement on each campus, sometimes there'll be classroom teachers and sometimes there'll be PE teachers teaching. It's easier to, instead of trying to get classroom sets of books and that kind of thing, if everything's online and accessible for every teacher on that campus, that's kind of what we're looking at.
And then I have one more question.
Sure.
So is it the licensing or whatever we purchase, the school district purchases, mm-hmm. is it good for an extended period of time or is it 1 year at a time?
So that's a purchasing question, but what they'll do is they'll give us price quotes, and it'll be if you want to do through all 8 years of the proclamation, or if you want to break that down into just a couple years at a time, but we'll just pay for it annually, just, you know, as the financial laws will let us do that. Okay. So we're working with purchasing on getting quotes. This isn't the only elementary curriculum available. I'll talk about middle school in just a minute. But I gave you a piece of paper that had a QR code. Just so that you can have access to compare any of these that you might want to. All of the ones at the top up here, before that first hard line, these are curriculums that vendors have submitted to the Board of Education for TEA to vet and to approve. They're looking forward to, they cover all the T's and and do they meet all the letter of the law with curriculum and that kind of thing. So these have all been vetted through TEA. The only one that TEA Board of Education said was 100% aligned to Texas Teaks is this one. So that's one of the, another reason why we're looking at this one pretty heavy for elementary. At the very bottom, there's another elementary choice here. There's a vendor that reached out to us. So Carol and I have done some things with that. And I gave this information to our textbook committee too. It's called Catch. And it's a health education vendor as well. They did not submit any of their things to TEA for review. And so that's one of the things we have to make sure that we assure the board is that they're high quality materials, and so that's just one of the hangups we have with that one. Okay, so I encourage you to look through those at your leisure. The Lesson B and the Human Kinetics and the Goodhart Wilcox and the McGraw that's also on this page, these are all just middle school only. And McGraw is separate as well because of the same reason. They did not submit their things to TEA. So the other piece of vendor literature that I gave you is this one that says Goodhart Wilcox, and this is for the middle school PE. So they did submit their items, their materials to the Board of Education. They're the only one in the middle school arena that got approved for adoption. Doesn't mean that they're the only ones we can look at, but they're the ones that were given like the TEA blessing, so to speak, I guess you'd say. Carol, do you have anything to say about any of this? Chime in if you do. With this middle school one, it's an online thing as well. And so we would be able to let whichever teachers are teaching our health curriculum and at middle school. We are redesigning that because right now it is an elective, which means not all the kids go through it, right? Well, we need all the kids to learn health education. So we're taking the TEKS and we're embedding them in some science classes and PE classes where it's appropriate. So all the kids are gonna get this instruction. And so with that being said, again, it's like that question you asked about online or books. We'll have online access for everybody. Carol?
It is health, middle school health. We're not looking at any middle school PE.
Right.
Did you mention the high school PE? That's also totally online.
I didn't bring that information with me since it's a, you know, the physical education side of things. I didn't think, but it's the same company, Goodhart Wilcox. And so if you get into this, and it tells you how to, somewhere on the second page, how to look at their vendor materials. It'll have high school PE that you can select there as well if you're interested to look through that. But it is a coordinated program both ways. And on both of these, elementary and middle school, they have taken those sensitive topics that have to do with child abuse and with homosexuality and those kind of things that through the legislature have said that parents have to opt in now to be taught. They have pulled those out to have like a separate accessibility so that they're not just wide open for anybody to teach. So we'll be able to safeguard which kids get which instruction in the proper time and the proper way. So,
whereas with Catch, they have a stamp on theirs that says 100% meeting the TEKS, but when they presented for the elementary PE teachers, I asked her directly, and she's about the human sexuality parts, and she said, oh no, we don't touch on that. So they're not covering 100% of the TEKS.
Yeah.
So that's why Quaver is really it's a very thorough.
So we'll be able to meet our requirements of, like I said, parents opt in with those kind of things and still be part of the curriculum so that it's not a different situation. So anyway, I encourage you to look through those things. Those two committees are going to continue to meet one or two more times to try to make a good selection for recommendation to the school board. We have to assure them that they do meet all of the TEKS, that they're high quality, instructional materials, which is one of the reasons why we do look at the ones that's EA vetted first before anything else, and then accessibility to the teachers, does it meet the way we want to instruct, that kind of thing. So I just encourage you to look through all of that, and we're going to go forward with it as is right for our district. So what else?
So then in moving forward, they have to finish up looking through textbooks, the committee does, then they make the recommendation to the board. Then once that's decided, well, I'm sure the content coordinators are working on embedding the new health teaches currently, so
embedding them into
they'll be ready for next fall. So I want to make sure it's okay with you that we go ahead and still continue with our current human sexuality curriculum, but bringing in the barrier protection that they're calling it now, adding some of that information until we really see how this is all going to pan out. I mean, we don't know what exactly, you know, how it's all going to look with health embedded everywhere. And I have a feeling that once this is, there could possibly be better curriculum out there. And I don't know if Carol shared, but the writer of our current curriculum is actually in the process of rewriting her curriculum and making sure, and right now she only has sixth grade done, but yet we teach human sexuality at seventh grade. And so we might want to wait to look at her updated information, or possibly using the additional resource that comes from textbooks that are there. So we just want to make sure it's okay with you as the SHAC that we move forward with Worth the Wait for Now. I mean,
which is wellness and Worth the Wait is the old
right,
title.
I forgot the name of the new title, the new curriculum. So, yes.
So we're going forward with choosing general curriculum for elementary and middle school. And then this is separately,
yes.
The human sexuality. Mm-hmm. We feel it's the best idea to go ahead and choose what we want to use for general curriculum, work through that process throughout the year next year while we still use what you have already approved for human sexuality next year. And then at that time we can all review and see, well, what does this have compared to what else might be out there that we might want to look at for that particular instruction.
Sorry, I missed the last meeting. I'm catching up a little bit. So everything that we, this is kind of piggybacking on everything that we did, like a year and a half or 2 years ago. And so the curriculum, the wellness and human sexuality, formerly Worth the Wait, is this an abstinence-only curriculum?
It is.
Okay, because one of the biggest things about that whole committee was, no,
right,
let's not do that.
Right, and it is, it's, now our district, I believe it's in policy, if I'm correct, that we push an abstinence only. But now with the new teeth, that can't stay that way anymore.
Right.
We have to now teach barrier protection is what they're calling it.
So what was decided, all that work that we did,
uh-huh,
didn't we,
when we
implement something, has all that been thrown out and we're starting over? Is that, I'm catching up, I'm really sorry.
Basically,
so we're talking about previous administration, correct?
Right.
Okay, so I think what occurred, Brad, is that, sorry, Dr. Barnum.
No, Brad's fine.
You before, Dr.
Not impressed. My wife's not either yet.
What occurred is that administration that was here, you guys did all of the work, but I'm not sure that there was follow through.
No, it wasn't.
In making sure that the information was shared correctly and in a timely manner. And so I've just been given this year.
Got it.
And we feel it's very important that your voice is heard and that everything you've done is important and valued. And actually considered. So so many, I think, of what was presented previously, it may still be very valuable material, because I think in some of the notes we do have some of the curriculum that you looked at and so forth, and I think we can we could possibly delve back into that and see if they have truly incorporated the new TEKS with that. It's just been a fast and furious type of information. So know that I apologize for your hard work not being.
No, no apology necessary. I just want to know where we're at.
So, I'm kind of in the same boat. So if, and if I may, let me ask. So currently you're asking for what's happening right now to stay the way that it is until the end of the year, and then we adopt one of the plans.
So it's two separate things. Yes. So general health instruction using whatever we choose to adopt for elementary and middle school, that's for general health education, not human sexuality. So that's a totally separate thing.
Right.
And so I think what Dr. Munoz is trying to propose is what you have already approved is using that one program, which was called Worth the Wait. We're working through that right now this spring with our students.
Right.
To just go ahead and keep that in place throughout next school year while we just go forward with regular health instruction, and then reevaluate how to teach human sexuality for year 23-24.
Because the current curriculum has contraceptive lessons within it, which would cover us, because that's the one area that we have not taught.
So in the updated TEKS that will go into effect next school year, on page 27 is where the middle school starts. And so as you flip through there and paying attention to the red parts, once you get into the TEKS that have to do with human sexuality, it's still written that the emphasis should be on abstinence,
right. But
we're also now required to also teach barrier protection and those kind of things. You can see some things, some language has even been changed from the original putting in of language with that, and they took some of it back out and that kind of thing. But this is still all part of that parents opt in to have any of that instruction. We just have to, if they're gonna get their instruction, we have to meet the TEKS with it. So we don't wanna totally jump in and try to find new human sexuality curriculum for next year before we even know how general health is going to go with the new stuff and what they have to offer, what this updated version of Worth the Wait that's coming out might have to offer, and for you guys to be able to relook at the whole thing again and make a good decision on it.
Well, I can make it really easy for that committee in the future, which I will not be on. Just do what we recommended, because we spent a lot of time.
I was just having meetings with the
people on the
school board.
We spent a whole lot of time. I'm so glad Dr. Norton is not in this room right now, because he would be like blowing up. But just do what we recommended, because I think that we spent a lot of time on it, and we talked through it a lot, and it was good. And then it did. I remember Ms. Wardis coming in and kind of presenting, and I remember that being awkward, the altercation between her and Dr. Norton being like, this is kind of strange, because he was frustrated, and he was, I think he was speaking for the committee. We were all a little bit frustrated because we had spent all that time there, but it just kind of, I guess, fell on deaf ears, and I don't know where in the bureaucratic process it kind of fell apart. So thanks for picking it up. Sorry, Karen. But yeah, for whoever's on that committee, just take our recommendations. You'll have a one meeting, you'll be done, it'll be great. What did happen, Karen? So just say, where in the process did it come? Did COVID?
No.
Let's blame, I want to blame COVID.
No, COVID.
Was it that long ago?
A different program was moved forward with. That was, I don't believe, was on your recommendation.
And is that what Ms. Wardis came in and presented? And that was the weird kind of altercation when Dr. Norton got like super agitated?
It was really kind of Dr. Barton brought in a program that they had live speakers, and
so that's what was pushed out to the district.
But in all honesty, this I don't know how long I've been on the shack, but this is something we've brought up every year since I've been here. So.
Really? Yeah, and I've been bad. I miss meetings because they're hard to get to at 6 o'clock for me,
so
I'm out of the loop.
It's every time we bring it up, it doesn't happen.
Okay.
Okay, so.
Was it just y'all?
We're still in Abilene.
Yeah. So do we need a motion to carry this over to the 23-24 to decide on our curriculum? I'm getting this all in my head, and to keep the current curriculum for the 22-23 year. Is that what we're doing?
For human sexuality.
For human sexuality.
And including the contraceptive part.
Including the barrier protection.
I would kind of want y'all's opinion, because y'all work with them about carrying it over. What do you see as some drawbacks to it, or is something you're comfortable with?
I think it's a good program that we're using right now. I do not believe contraceptives are in what we're using.
Not currently what we're using. I found it, remember, in the eighth grade.
Oh, in the eighth grade.
There are available lessons.
Because we have 6, 7, 8. Yes, okay. So there are available lessons that could be added to it.
And I think using that, what we're using now with the addition of that to meet the TEKS, I think it's good. And I think it's one of the big things that this committee wanted, and a lot of other folks, is consistency. Mm-hmm. And the way we're doing it now, we've got the same gentleman and the same lady that are teaching at every campus, every lesson. So we have the consistency. And, you know, they're working together on the slideshows and that kind of stuff. So my personal opinion, I think it's good to stay with it, so that you do have time to look. I think things have changed. Like you said, the author is branching out to her own, but her thing's a 12-day program. Science teachers aren't going to want to give up 12 days, you know? So that's another area that's going to have to be looked at. But right now, I think this will be, I think, the best avenue to go, personally.
Yeah, and I'm kind of with both of y'all. I was on that committee too, and I feel like, if I'm remembering correctly, the program that we all liked and proposed, we're like, this one is great. And then this Scott and White, isn't the Worth the Wait, the Baylor Scott and White is now the name of it. I think it was like, it's fine, you know, we kind of felt. And then there was that one,
Choosing the Best.
Choosing the Best was the one we liked best. I remember, okay. But then there was that one evening presentation that it was done, right?
I wasn't around for that.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, for parents. And it was like, parents of high schoolers come up. I came to one. And it was a different program.
Yeah.
That's
the program that was
chosen. Aim for Success.
Aim for Success.
Yes.
Yes.
That's not a good program.
Correct.
No. I attended that.
I attended it, and I was just like,
my son came home, and we talked about
it. Talking about trash bags and everything, and I was like, no.
Well, it's one of those, like, this is a gift. You only have ones to open. And like, you're in youth group. And I'm sorry, that's not what our responsibilities are here. So, yes. But I do think my impression, if it's any consolation, was that the Baylor Scott and White one was okay. It just was not inclusive. And if it does have some components we can bring in, my gut reaction would be to say, I mean, for another year, it's probably acceptable. Maybe not the best, but it sounds like it's acceptable.
And I think we'll have many more options to look at, you know, once these new TEKS go in place and the new textbooks that we're adopting for general health ed start getting used, where we can look at those companion supplement texts without instructing out of them. Just look at them to see if those are a good fit or whatever. I think time-wise, if I was part of this committee, I would want to wait and see the options, you know, at this time next year or in the fall, whenever you would take it up for the following year.
Okay. So, does anyone want to make a motion to accept what we currently have with the barrier protection in our middle school health.
I will reluctantly make that motion. Simply because of the logistics of finding a different program, I think, at this point.
Wasn't the other big thing that we said, let's do an opt-out as opposed to an opt-in?
The state killed that.
The state killed that.
Yeah, that's a big
we would much prefer.
Yeah.
But really, your efforts this year really did receive the majority of our seventh graders opted in. I mean, cool. Carol worked hard.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a very hard.
Yeah.
Do y'all have to make phone calls or what? Because I know they didn't just all.
The science teachers were very good about following up and sending more forms home and making phone calls. They were great.
There's a motion. Do I have a second?
A second.
No, Bruce is second.
Are we going to go with Bruce or Linda?
Bruce.
That sounds all
right. All in favor?
What did you say?
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, our sexual wellness of it. Carol.
Well, we've talked a whole lot.
I was going to say.
We covered it. Covered what? How we're doing it last meeting.
Thank
also,
thank
you,
Dr. Munoz. Thank you very much.
We know who they are.
I have to make two, so we're fine. Thank you. Y'all enjoy. Eat our son for us.
Okay. By the way, if I made any mistakes, please let me know. I'll redo them. It's just nice to see people.
They're great. I feel so important.
You are. You really are. Don't take them with you.
Next question. Oh, we can take these home, huh? No.
We are doing a Craig on Monday, Clack on Tuesday, Madison on Wednesday, and Man on Thursday. We are now on the holiday and the bad weather days kind of knocked us in the teeth a little bit, but we are beginning tomorrow lesson three. So because of those bad weather days, I spoke to the teachers and they think they can combine lessons five and six at the end of this so that we don't take any more of those science teachers' class times away from them. So it's going well from what I've understood. Because of the suggestions of people beforehand, we have assigned people in the classrooms for discipline issues and classroom management. Those that were no, they did not want their child participating, or students that didn't bother to bring back the form were no's, and they are receiving instruction in social emotional learning type things. Everything I've heard is a positive, so that has been a so. And y'all have any questions about it?
The percentage that opted out, do you have an estimate?
You know, I should have looked at my forms a little more closely. I'm just guessing it's small. I'm guessing maybe, I know it's less than 10%.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
And I'll have more firm numbers for you next meeting. Anything else?
Thank you, Carol.
Sure.
We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Our speaker tonight is from Regional Victim Crisis Center, and it's Colleen Rudd, and she's going to speak about human trafficking for us.
Excuse me.
very subject.
Yes, it is. So I'm going to go ahead and stand up. And I apologize. I've been into training all day, so I wore my comfy clothes when I got up. Be on that. And I know y'all don't have as much time as I usually when I go out to present. A lot of times our presentations, we can range anywhere from an hour to, I've done 8 hours at regional, or at Region 14 with the counselors and stuff like that. But in talking to Mandy, she had talked about just coming in kind of talking to y'all about how human trafficking is happening here in Abilene, and it's happening right in our schools. And it's really important that we don't bury our heads in the sand about it, but that we learn and educate ourselves about it. Because unfortunately, unless you totally just discount the news, our cyber crimes unit in Abilene is busy, busy, busy. And trafficking of children, online solicitation does fall under that umbrella. Now, not every situation is necessarily trafficking, but it does put kids at high risk. I know that AISD is in the process of working on implementing the See It tool, which is a tool to, you don't sit down and ask the child questions, but based off information you know, you answer questions and it rates the child's level of concern for risk of being trafficked. And so when you have an online solicitation case, that pretty much dumps the child into at least a possible concern area. If you introduce porn into it, that bumps it up a lot of times into clear concern. And so in Abilene, why it's important to know in the schools is because you might have children coming to school that maybe their grades are slipping, or they're falling asleep in class, or maybe all of a sudden they've became the star student because they're trying to be noticed. They may be being trafficked in their own home, because unfortunately Hollywood has made us think that trafficking means, and I see it on Facebook all the time and social media, and I have to keep myself from commenting because I get myself in trouble, but not that kidnapping doesn't happen, but in the, when you're looking at the stacks of things, it is way down here. Familial trafficking is higher than that. Online solicitation is higher than that. For years, we taught stranger danger, and so our children get on the internet, and they're not a stranger. And so, you know, if we were, I heard this said, and matter of fact, there's a video from the Office of the Attorney General called Be the One, and one of the attorneys on there even says that, you know, if you're a parent and some grungy-looking old man comes knocking at your door and wants to talk to your 12-year-old child, like, you're not gonna just let them in and talk to your child. But we're handing our kids cell phones at very young ages. We're handing them Xboxes and things like that, and we're not paying attention to who they're online with. Back in 2016, UT did a study, and just in Texas alone, 313,000 people are being trafficked yearly, what they estimated in Texas, and 79,000 of them are children and youth, and specifically for sex trafficking. And so it is one of the fastest growing. It usually yields about $150 billion annually. And also it is getting up there, right, kind of almost overtaking drugs and guns, because the thing is, drugs sell one time, guns typically sell one time, but kids and adults can sell over and over. So the other thing is, we don't think about boys being victims. And why that's important too is, in our culture, you know, we kind of glorify boys having sex before they're 18. And it's macho or whatever, whereas if it's a girl that does it, they get other labels and stuff like that. So boys don't report as much. Also, they typically tend not to have what we consider a typical trafficker, or what some people call a pimp, because they might be exchanging sex in different ways we don't think of. Maybe it's for a place to stay, things like that. People a lot of times also with that think that it has to be money that changes hands. I have kids on my caseload that they have had sex for a Happy Meal. It's sad, but it's true. And on the OAJ's website, they list four kinds of trafficking. Really, there's three. They break out labor trafficking by child and adult and sex trafficking by child and adult. And really the difference, labor trafficking, there isn't really. You still have to have force, fraud, or coercion in that. And that's because in the United States, even in the state of Texas, we have a age that children can go to work at Sonic or wherever. And so because of that, we do have to provide the force, fraud, or coercion. With child sex trafficking victims, if a child's under 18, they cannot legally consent to having sex. So therefore, force, fraud, and coercion don't have to be proven. It's not that it's not necessarily there, but it does not have to be proven. So again, it's really important, especially in this area, because we have I-20, we have Dyess Air Force Base, we have the airport, Abilene Regional, we have 8384, and so like in the state of Texas, we rank number 2 in the nation, and then also Houston ranks number 1, and Houston ranks number 1 because they have 2 international airports, they have the waterways, and then they have highways. And 20% of all trafficking victims in the United States come through Texas at one time or another. And it's because our highways will take them to anywhere in the United States.
We rank number 2 as what?
Texas does as for trafficking for a state in the nation.
And Abilene does as?
Abilene does, there's not a ranking.
Oh, okay.
So let me just tell you that.
Okay.
There has been a lot of incorrect information as far as statistics. We don't have good statistics in Abilene for a lot of different reasons. One is because in order to get funding in Abilene, we had to have a coalition, which RVCC did start the Big Country Human Trafficking Coalition 2016. And so we had to have the coalition for 2 years before we could get funding. So after those 2 years were up, RVCC did apply for funding, and we got a grant from the governor's office. So I am a human trafficking case management advocate and also the co-coordinator for the coalition. I'm a CSA, what they call a CSA advocate. So my specialty is commercially sexually exploited youth. And I do regular calls with the governor's office and stay in the loop of, you know, what their standards are and things of that. But because of that, we have just started tracking data. We don't necessarily have a central hub for where our data gets tracked, which we are trying to work on that. But if people don't think it's happening here, I can tell you, because I do keep the data for our grant. And I can tell you that in 1 year of our grant, before we really were able to start getting people to get trained on the See It tool, versus training, we trained the Child Advocacy Center. And in 1 month, the numbers that we had for a year, we got in a month of clear concerns. So we have the kids here, and they may not necessarily be trafficked at this moment, but they are high risk, and they are in our schools. A lot of times they will have brushed with criminal justice system. Maybe they're in foster care. Sometimes their parents are selling them for rent money or drug money. We had a big case here in Abilene, the Collier case. I don't know if any of you remember that, but he was luring kids with the premise of that he would give them a job, and he was buying them anything they wanted, cars, sneakers. I mean, these kids, any child can be trafficked, any adult can be trafficked, because we all have a need that's unmet. For kids, especially youth, maybe it's, you know, they're in that age where mom won't let me or dad won't let me have my cell phone all hours of the day, but a trafficker might lure them by saying, hey, if you come with me, I'll let you, you know, have your phone all the time, I'll let you do this all the time or whatever. And so that happens a lot more than we think. And the other thing is, you don't have to have, like I was saying, you don't have to be kidnapped. You don't have to leave your own home to be trafficked. And they're not just kids that are sitting in our school. I mean, some of them aren't coming to school, but they might be going to church with you. They might be in the grocery store with you, you know. That's why I think it's really important that y'all know we do. Our organization does a lot of presentations for the Region 14, but we are willing to go into schools. I've come here to AISD and done presentations. I've been invited to Cooper and done a presentation for the criminal justice class. I learned how to do a hour and a half presentation in 30 minutes for 7 class periods in a day. So it can be done. But I appreciate y'all letting me come and talk to you about it, and I don't want to, because I could go on forever, but if y'all have questions or anything, I did bring some brochures. I have the Coalition brochure and the RBCC brochure if anybody's interested. And like I said, I would love to have a conversation with anybody that wants to get more information. I just had somebody this weekend in the grocery store that I hadn't seen for years run into me and say, hey, what are you doing now? And I always think that's interesting because I never know how people are going to react. But she literally sat and had like a 30-minute conversation with me because she was like, I just cannot believe that it's happening right here in Abilene.
You mentioned Abilene a lot. I mean, I don't doubt you. I mean, you said it's I-20 and 8384 and airport, Air Force Base. But is that why Abilene, you think, or is just, why is it Abilene? I always hear that's the worst place in the state.
No, Abilene is not the worst place for trafficking, because we don't have data to back that up. But I'm saying, like, so having I-20 and the Air Force Base and stuff makes us more susceptible to trafficking. But the majority of the kids on my caseload are either online, is where they got it, or they're being trafficked by their own parent or family member. Yeah. And I can tell you, so I live in Holly. I live on the outskirts of Holly. And people say, well, that doesn't happen in my backyard. And the reason why I say that is, I don't know if you heard of the Pettyjohn Hawthorne case, where the former chief of police in Anson and a businessman from Anson were on trial for trafficking. The girl that they trafficked, I drive that road every day. So.
Be anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Especially now.
So, Colleen, did you say that the online solicitation that falls under the trafficking?
It falls under the umbrella because those kids are more at risk. And because you never know, there's different levels. Like if the images are being sold, if they can sell them online, so like it can be, I have one girl right now. And honestly, I don't even know where she is, but she goes, we call it the Texas Triangle, so it's like Houston, San Antonio, Dallas, and then all in between that area. And her trafficker will post things online for whatever area that he has her at that time to have people come.
The question I was going to ask, kind of based on that. So I attended like a parent
information when my kids were at Craig, session led by one of the kind of like a special investigator detective mm-hmm. part of the APD about just kind of calling awareness to parents of this. So do you work with the APD then pretty closely? What's your relationship like? I mean, is that pretty tight? Y'all are probably having to work back and forth mm-hmm. quite a bit.
I'm one of the people that they call out into like areas. I've went to Sweetwater, Cross Plains, all over. APD, sometimes they'll just call me right to the police department.
Okay.
So it depends. But yeah, I mean, it depends. The thing is that's why it's important educating people, especially parents, is yes and no, they can track the phone. So if the location is off, it makes it a little more difficult. It's just like when a parent finds images on their phone, their first reaction is to go ballistic and start deleting the images or even contacting the person. And that makes law enforcement's job 10 times harder because some of those images, they can get warrants and retrieve, but some of them they can't. And also, once the trafficker or the person is alerted.
It scares them off.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned a See It tool. Mm-hmm. What is that?
The commercially sexually exploited information tool that we use. So basically what it is it's a series of questions that ask, like, there's a section that asks if they have been in foster care, if they've been involved with juvenile justice, if they've been exposed to porn, or if videos have been made of them. But based off each section, it ranks them at their risk for being trafficked.
Is that a paper tool or a digital tool or what?
It's done both ways.
Okay.
So, and I'm really excited that AISD is going to be doing that because it will be very helpful.
Is that something practitioners should do too?
Well, we're actually in the process of working with, so the coalition has different working groups, and one of the groups that we have is the medical group, and we're working in there to try to see a tool that's not, that doesn't ask as many questions,
right.
And that's totally validated that we can use in the hospital setting.
That would be interesting.
And one of the things, too, with that, so RVCC, we're the agency that gets called out for the forensic scene exams at Hendrick, and so we send an advocate out. So sometimes that's where we have awesome forensic scene nurses in Abilene, and that's where some of my calls come from. The advocate will be like, I think I need you to come up here and assess this situation, or maybe the scene nurse says, hey, you need to get a human trafficking advocate.
Does the state require that, like HHSC, like the Medicaid, the people that do eligibility, do they have to go through a training?
They're working their way through that. So, yeah, there's a lot of mandates that have been coming down, and they're just trying to figure out how to get that. And the important thing is getting good education because, like, for law enforcement, but certain professions, they have maybe you have to have, even like with the school they pass where you have to have training, but you can go watch this hour webinar and it counts, but it really doesn't give you the meat of what you need to look for. Anybody else? Thank y'all.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you.
Any other things that we need to talk about? If everyone's hearts and minds are clear, then we are good. We're good to go. Well, I appreciate you all.
Thank you.
Meeting is adjourned. I know. I need to go thaw out.
I didn't even tell you first.
Everyone else.
I brought
no cats. Anybody
I didn't
Thanks, Tricia.
Mandy. Yeah. Last time you guys talked about that partnership with Texas Tech Health Science Center and the psychiatry, is that correct? Is that Chatter, C-A-T-R?
Let me look.
So there's currently a new program, Texas Psychiatry Access Network, so CPAN, that's for us, but Chatter's for the schools, correct? Does that sound familiar?
Yes.
And that's, this is all that's benefited from that, just 15 kids? Because I've told 15 kids myself.
Is that the formal meeting notes?
Yeah, it's the
meds from last. Yeah, I missed it also. I've referred one kid to that CPAN, but
as far as you're aware, it's the students and the parents have to request, like, from the school counselor, hey, my doctor said to ask you about this program. I just want to make sure I'm trying to plug kids in right.
Yeah. A lot of the kids here are realizing there's a new phase program
for the
I don't know.
Okay, so maybe you're dumping them that way.
Yeah.
You're saying?
Yeah. Because I know some of the kids that are at risk are going that direction because I'm aware of that. But so I wonder if we need to be utilizing it.
Well, I don't know. I was wondering how it was working.
We need to utilize everything we got.
Yeah, well, the problem, you know, from my end, it's, you know, they're in my office, and I tell a parent, hey, do this, and then I never get any feedback because I don't get notes from mental health professionals. I don't get anything like that, so I never know. And sometimes they'll come, every once in a while they'll come back. And, you know, yeah, we're plugged in, we're doing good, and all that kind of stuff. But that's maybe just one or two, and I've told at least 15 to do it.
Right.
So, just wondering.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing that we're trying to do at the youth drop-in center is have a central location for all that to get
right.
The data. But,
cool. Awesome.
So, I thought they had taken care of all that. So, thank you for coming. You want a sandwich?
No.
I said, do y'all like his glow?
My ski glow.
So I'm like,
my right back from vacation glow.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, y'all.
Bye.
That's okay. I can even ask
that. That's why. I know.
Oh, yeah.
Why?